direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole. Don't stare at me.
Don't look at me. My smell feels weird because now I have a huge gap in my molars. I went to the dentist today, and I had a tooth pulled. That's why the show is late today, guys. But you know what?
How would they know?
They'll know because I'm posting it late.
Oh, you're posting it late.
Listen, guys, you're worth it to me, okay? Did I want to come in here? No. Did I want to sit in 3 o'clock in the afternoon traffic in the suburbs of Los Angeles?
Yes.
No, I did not.
You're such a martyr.
No, I did not.
I'm so proud of you.
Where was the dentist?
I am. You don't need to know where my dentist is.
You said you were in traffic. What's in L.A.
I'm thinking I said in an L.A. suburb.
What's his name?
An L.A. suburb.
The L.A. Underground.
People don't need to know where he gets his teeth pulled.
Hey, you don't need to know where I get
his teeth. The audience doesn't need to know where you get your teeth pulled.
Yeah. 2 exits away.
Man. I'd be great if it was like a block
he
over.
Was, my, this dentist, though, was quick.
Yeah?
I guess. And you're not... It seems like the drugs have worn off. You seem fine.
You're just grumpy.
Had a gentle touch, the dentist. He did a good... I was in and out of the chair in with a tooth extraction and a bone graft. In less than an hour.
Wow. Bone graft. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Yeah. Impressive.
Did they like tie a string around it and the other end to a doorknob and slam it?
No, there was string involved because he had to stitch my mouth at the end.
Wow.
Mouth?
It is amazing you're still here.
Thank you. I'm a bit of a martyr.
We're proud of you.
I'm something of a scientist myself.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. Yeah.
Everybody's good? Everybody had a great 4th of July? Everybody celebrated America's birthday safely and sanely, I see.
Mm-mm.
I lit a Smokey Joe.
Did you remember Smokey Joe's?
I do.
Little cabins?
Log cabin on fire and Smokey Joe. So to celebrate the birthday of America, you light a cigar on a bum's mouth.
Oh, that was a Smokey
that
Joe.
That was a Smokey Joe. It was a cardboard stand-up of a bum with a big old phony cigar, and you lit it, and out came all this crazy smoke and ash.
John and I had a friend.
Smokey Joe.
I won't name her online or out loud, but we won't name her. I can't. We won't reveal her identity is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But she had a saying that she would say, he was on that like a bum on a bologna sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I do.
Yep, yep, yep.
I know who you're
That's
talking
horrible.
About.
That's yeah. horrible.
Like a bum on a bologna sandwich.
That's what she would say. This is when Reagan hadn't let all the homeless people
this
down.
This was
yet.
80s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah so.
Smokey Joe.
Smokey Joe.
No, he had already.
Kind of sad. Smokey Joe's go back to the 60s. I don't know. It's crazy.
How about hobo?
Hobo. I don't think people stopped saying hobo after the Depression, I think. After Truman got in, they stopped saying hobo, I think.
You don't really
hobo
hear
hobo is like you're
anymore.
Riding the rails. I think actually if you were to look that up, hobo means you're riding trains.
Well, there's
you're not just, you know.
There's actually a Sherlock Holmes story where the language, like the written, the symbology of the hobo, you know, they have their own code.
Mm-hmm.
And that figures into the plot.
No kidding.
Holmes knew the what to size. Yeah,
I forget what it's called, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, and they would tell you like what, they tell you that like this house will give you food. There's little signs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Figures in.
You put a pie in the windowsill and you know that it's okay to come in.
It's called the Norwood Builder. Check it out.
That?
The Norwood Builder. How's everybody else doing, guys? Justine? Patrick?
Good.
I'm good.
Sweaty.
Bueno.
Patrick just had a birthday, everybody.
Thanks.
On Sunday. Woo. Let's give him a big superiority complex. There you go.
Happy birthday to you.
Shouldn't Justine be singing this?
No. Why ruin it?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
happy
Mr. President.
Happy birthday, dear.
What's his name?
Patrick. Happy birthday to you.
That's awful
you
creepy.
You
That's
like
awful
that?
Creepy.
And many
more. Now he's supposed to go, thank you.
On channel 4.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I that plan to be
the late Marilyn Monroe.
It's not officially your birthday until we sing this to you. Happy birthday, Patrick. How do you feel, bud?
Good. Pretty good.
How'd you celebrate? Let me ask you a question. Do you feel older?
No.
Do you feel younger?
No.
Do you feel wiser?
I feel about the same.
You feel about the same?
Yeah.
The same as you did yesterday?
Yeah, that's pretty much... Well, yeah, yesterday was not my birthday, so...
And the day before that?
And the day before that. The day still before the same.
That, yep. You have the Sheriff John on there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I had a nice, relaxing birthday. went and saw Spider-Man, and then Mario got me drunk. It was really nice.
Listen, we're not going to talk about that.
That sounds like a good birthday.
Yeah,
let's
great.
Listen to this for...
another candle on my birthday cake. We're gonna bake a birthday cake.
There you go.
Put another candle on my birthday cake. What kind of cake did you have? I'm another year old today.
Did I have cake?
I'm gonna have a party with my birthday.
I don't know either.
You had chocolate cake.
It was like a strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, it was strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Yeah, you tried to get me drunk, but got Justine drunk instead. That was pretty impressive.
It was like
impressive.
A boomerang.
It deflected.
It deflected.
I'm Captain Boomerang. I'm the worst DC character ever.
Dude, I was late for work. I had work at midnight. I set my alarm wrong.
Mission. Well, you set your alarm wrong. Mission accomplished.
I set my alarm for 10 a.m. I should have done 10 p.m.
Good job.
But we left you at like 8. We got back home at 8.
So. Let me ask you a question, though. Did you, when you were drunk, right, did you have visions of
a sunset?
Of Tom Holland like you did when you were watching Spider-Man a few hours earlier? Did you go to sleep dreaming of Mr. Tom Holland?
No.
But you
of
did.
Licking no,
you
his
gave me my
apps.
Nightcap. I just knocked out.
That's great. Oh, well, I'm glad to be service. Let me ask you a question, though. Did you like Spider-Man? Let's talk about it.
Do we want to review John's movie first?
Do we want to? What do you guys want to do?
I think because we're going to spend a lot of time on Spider-Man, and I think we should save that for.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to spend that much time on Spider-Man. It was great. We all agree. We all gave it 10s.
How do you know?
Who here didn't give it a 10? Raise your hand.
Jake, because he probably didn't see it.
No, he watched.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, so I was like, Sandy saw it.
Yeah. Which means
I
saw
it. With you.
I.
You're speechless. The idea that somebody wouldn't give it a 10 has left you speechless.
I don't understand. No, I didn't even give it a 10.
I give it like an 8.
Yeah, I'll.
And if he takes off his shirt more, then I give it an 8.5.
We'll get into that.
You want to just lick his washboard abs, didn't you?
Whoa.
Jake, stop saying that. Whoa. You said that
I'll say it again.
I love it. That's so funny.
You said it twice.
Patrick, I'll stop saying that.
But the one I directed it at didn't hear me the first time.
No, she heard you. It sounded weird.
Exactly.
Coming from you.
It's like, what do you want me to say to that?
It was creepy both times you said it.
It's good.
What's funny is... So I went to go see it yesterday. I went to go see Spider-Man yesterday. And then I thought, I still have to watch Zardoz. I hate to finish
Why
up.
Why did you see Zardoz first and then
I,
go
I was trying to.
Cleanse
I just,
your palate.
I ran out of time. I thought, I'm going to watch this great movie. And I've got to finish it off with a really bad movie. Because I listened to the podcast last week, and it was hilarious how much everybody hated all three movies. I know what that is.
It's a washboard. We're playing washboard.
Why, Jake, you want to lick that?
I've never heard someone say washboard abs. I've never heard that before.
Well, now you have.
You don't, because you don't know anybody with washboard abs.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
It never comes up.
You don't know anybody.
Washboard abs.
That's it.
Barrel chested.
Yeah, kid. Yeah, or.
No, I would. No, barrel chested is.
Or like, what do they call it? Six packs?
It's two different things.
Keg chested?
I'm barrel chested. John's barrel chested.
Yeah. No, I'm like a
barrel
chested.
We're big. We're 1920 strong men.
I know. You'd have to go back. Yeah, 1899, we're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything after that, it's like, mm-hmm. Whoa. Yeah, anything post Douglas Fairbanks, people are going, geez. Oh.
Once people started wearing those short ties that really exposed the gut, that's when it all changed for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. all right, yeah, John. Let's do the unfinished business, and let's talk about you.
I'll make it quick.
Let's mop up.
Quick because they weren't great movies.
What are you talking about? There was one great movie.
Who
in there.
Doesn't love good Zardoz?
I'd forgotten just how I've forgotten what a complete slog the Star Trek.
Oh,
the motion
my
picture
God.
Is. I hope I never get. I hope I never have to see that again. I thought I was done ever having to sit through it, and so when that became one of the
photon torpedo.
Everything takes too long. That is, in a nutshell, what is wrong with that movie? Is that everything takes way too long?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is like a 5-minute response, you know. And God, all those shots of the Enterprise, not just at the beginning, but anytime they have to fly alongside the Enterprise, you're like, all right, already. I know this is the money shot for all the geeks, but God, all right.
And there's no chemistry with the crew.
Yeah,
you would think after which they had on the show, and it was easy. It was very
well. They don't have. There's an attempt, but they don't have any fun with it. Once you get to Wrath of Khan and the rest of them, they figured out how to have fun with the fact that they're three completely different personalities. The show used to have fun with that stuff. It wasn't always so deadly serious. This is a pretty deadly serious movie, you know.
Yeah.
There's no humor.
And there's no humor.
One joke.
Yeah, what is that joke?
It's the joke where the I talked about it last time, where the lieutenant says, I still have my vow of chastity to Kirk, and that was it.
Yeah. They just didn't have any fun with it. They were so like weighted down with expectations and, oh, this is a big deal. Haven't seen these characters in 10 years. So it just becomes this real slog, you know. I'm really, you got to hand it to Nicholas Meyer, you know. That would have been the end of the series, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he got in there. He figured out what to do with those characters. And I think you hit it on the head. He wasn't particularly a fan, but he went back and watched all the shows and said, okay, here's what you do. You got these three great characters with three completely different personalities, and yeah, it's only fun when they're bouncing off of each other, you know.
So what do you give Star Trek the motion picture?
It's like a one.
Wow, John.
I would never want to sit through that again.
What about when the guys get melted, you know, on the transporter?
Robert Wise, it's funny. You were talking about all the good movies he had done, like Andromeda Strain.
Sure.
He also did the original The Day the Earth Stood Still, you know, and did The Body Snatcher. And so he's very talented director. I just don't think he knew what to do with these characters. You know, this is just like, you know.
He probably wasn't a fan of the show, maybe.
Yeah. And, you know, I think probably the mission was you've got to compete with Star Wars. So it's all, did you see, it's Douglas Trumbull and John Dykstra doing the effects. So you got the guy that did the effects for Star Wars, and you got the guy that did the effects for 2001.
And they don't do anything but just fly around in a big cloud.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, not a bad story, but it's a story that you could have told in an hour on the show.
They,
you know,
did tell it.
Did they?
They've had a couple of stories.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, so it's been done. It said Alan Dean Foster was the story.
Yeah.
So.
It was rough.
It was rough. It's too bad.
So you gave it a one.
I gave it a one. All the other Star Trek movies, even The Voyage Home, you know, they're all fun. I could sit through any of them. Even like, you know, The Last Frontier and The Unknown Country and all that.
Oh, I love Undiscovered Country. That's a great one. That's a good one.
But this one, I never again.
All right, let's talk about your next favorite, Nashville.
Yeah, I actually had a copy of Nashville. I'd forgotten it was 3 hours long, though. You really have to have some time on your hands. That's almost like watching a soap opera. That's almost like watch it in three nights. Give yourself an hour each night and just parcel it out. It's interesting. You know, I don't know. I don't like it as much as The Player. I think The Player kind of did the same sort of thing in Hollywood. And that was a lot more entertaining. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the other big one.
Tim Robbins, yeah.
Really, he's had like three big movies. MASH, Nashville, and The Player are his three biggies.
Yeah.
Everything else is kind of on the fringes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of country music, so, you know, it's a star-studded cast, but it's just, you got to have some time on your hands. You know, not a bad movie, just not one of my favorites. So I'd give it like a five.
Whoa.
What's that? Why'd you say whoa, Justine?
That's a high score.
I give it a five.
Not for me.
For Justine, it is.
For me, yeah. Well, if Casablanca's a six, yeah.
he almost
no five for me, five for me is pretty
almost perfect.
Five is pretty low for me, and I don't think it's a bad movie, so I'm not going to give anything lower than that.
Yeah,
you know, it's also one of a kind. It's the sort of movie only Robert Altman could do a movie like
that. You know, the performances are all good. That's the thing.
Look at that cast. Holy cow! Yeah. Lily Tomlin, Robert Carradine, Ned Beatty. Michael Murphy, I mean, it's an amazing cast.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing pretty much what he does in every film. He just sort of like, you know, fly on the wall. What's happening? What are people behaving like, you know? But part of the problem is I'm just not big on country music in any, you know, so it just made it even tougher.
All right, let's go on to Zardoz, everybody's favorite this year.
Zardoz I had never seen.
Our favorite movie of the 70s.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. It was funny listening to the show because everyone says, oh my God, you know? Like, you owe me, what was it, $3 to buy the movie online?
To rent it.
Yeah.
We didn't buy it.
Did Jake buy it?
Oh, no.
I bought Nashville.
Yeah, it was Nashville.
Because there was no other option.
Zardoz.
Yeah. Well, Zardoz was free.
I dodged that bullet because the Whittier Public Library had Zardoz on DVD.
So beautiful.
Pretty tough to sit through.
What was your favorite part?
Christ. You know, it's just so silly is what it is. It's sillier than Logan's Run, if that's possible.
It makes it look good.
And it's kind of artsy-fartsy, which, you know what I mean? Logan's Run's pretty straightforward. This has pretty much got pretensions of greatness, which makes it even sillier.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Connery, I hope they paid him well. Because by the time you get to the scene where they're smuggling him out in the bridal gown, you just go, oh, I really hope your paycheck was, was substantial. And who was it? It was saying you're halfway expecting somebody from Monty Python to walk out.
That was Patrick.
There's so many scenes where you're going, yeah, you're right. Out of the Fog should come like Terry Jones.
Yeah, you just
want
to see them walk in the background. Because then you'd be like, okay, it makes sense. I can laugh.
Like at the end when they're all going, Zed! Zed!
Yeah, exactly. God, it was painful.
Sorry! You're expecting Michael Palin to come walking out with something tied to his head. Sorry! Zed!
Zed, man.
And now for something completely different.
Zed's dead.
I don't know, man. So, yeah, I was kind of looking up the background on that, and I was wondering what the critical review was at the time, and I guess some people really dug it. Some people thought it was approaching like what 2001 was able to pull
LSD's
off.
LSD's a hell of a drug.
Part of the problem now is it's dated. However pretentious it is and artsy-fartsy, it's very much of its time. It's laughable now just how dated all the costumes and all that stuff, you know.
It never works for me when it's like supposed to be the future and they're just in some, 19th century house. You're just like, oh, it's the future, but we're living in this old English manor.
It's supposed to be like 300 years later or something like that.
That never works.
And then you look at the boots and go, no, this is 1974. That's it, exactly. This isn't the future. This is 1974.
And that cod piece, huh?
Yeah.
And that ponytail.
Mm-hmm. And, it's annoying right out the gate. You know, the guy that introduces it, who's all, hi, the floating head. Hey.
And he has a really badly drawn mustache and goatee. So.
And you know what I heard is that John Boorman put that in because they were showing it to preview audiences and they didn't get the movie. So he said he put that little thing at the very beginning to kind of give people an idea what was going on. He says it didn't help. They still didn't get it.
It's a good indicator. If they don't understand what's going on in the movie, probably not the best idea.
So, yeah, it's true. It's like it's an hour and a half you'll never get back.
Just head inside now.
So.
No.
And I am Zardoz. I have lived 300 years, and I long to die. But death is no longer possible. I am immortal. I present now my story, full of mystery and intrigue, rich in irony, and most satirical.
Yeah. Gee, they lost me already.
So none of these events have yet occurred. But they may. Be warned, lest you end as I.
Yeah.
In this tale, I am a fake god by occupation and a magician by inclination.
Some will thrill you.
Yeah.
Some will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful.
Just kill me.
And then the first time you see the floating stone head, you're just like, all right, this is never going to work.
And I was enthralled from that moment.
You don't like the floating stone head, John? They would show that. Let me tell you how bad this movie is. When I was a kid, like 5-6 years old, when all I wanted to watch was like the, what's the one with Doug McClure? The Land of Time Forgot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see War of the Gargantuans.
Yeah.
They would always, Channel 5 would always get this, and about every 6 months would run it. And the commercial would bore me.
Oh, gee, they must have cut it a lot.
Oh, sure.
There's a lot of nudity and stuff going on in this. As a kid, this is not for kids, obviously. I remember, Playboy had a big pictorial on this. Like, hey, sex in the future. Hey, there's Sean Connery.
Didn't make up for it.
Hey, there's Charlotte Rampling. Yeah, and you're just going, no, it's not even titillating enough to be diverting in that way.
No, because they're all Brits. It's all...
A lot of freckles.
Just Brits, the worst.
A lot of freckles, a lot of sunburn.
Just
the
worst.
Oh, hello, would you care to...
So let me get this straight. In the future, everyone has a...
Would you care to have a little... Nookie.
Oh, see, now you throw James Mason in here. The penis is mightier. What was the first line?
The penis is bad, the rifle is good.
It's like the NRA is having a meeting.
Face Zardoz. Go ahead. Face Zardoz.
The guns are made of a squid ink.
I would have been okay with that.
The guns fire squid ink.
That makes that movie 10 times better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throw James James Mason. Hello, my name is Zardoz, and I am also Arthur Frayne, and I am an unoccupied god, and that's all you really need to know. Have at it.
And here we go.
And one, and two, and three. And
my name is Arthur Main.
Hello.
A Star is Born.
Yes. That's it.
Ugh.
That's it. Sorry, John. What do you give Zardoz?
I love Justine's... What was that? The minus four?
-5. Ooh. Or -4. Someone gave their highest, and I gave it a negative.
I gave it a 4, and she gave it a -4. Yeah.
I laughed very loud at that. There was
to make up for James.
It was set to neutralize the 4. It was like, set torpedoes to -4. Neutralized.
Hello? Yes.
That's got to be a first, a negative number on that whole...
Zardoz.
That whole
no, didn't Patrick filter. Give something like a -1 or something?
No.
I don't actually allow negative scores, so...
You don't?
No, it's a 0.
So she gave me a 0. She gave it a 0.
But she can write it down in her little book.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a good thing somebody's writing it down.
By the way,
speaking of her little book, it's not accurate.
Why?
It doesn't have our Christmas movies or our Halloween movies. because they're not part of the digital movie club.
Also, people are clamoring for you to do a spreadsheet that'll be available online.
Yeah, some bullshit.
Sorry.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, just, but my mind went dirty. Okay, got it.
People want to know when you can put an online spreadsheet. Are you really going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, she gave me a salute and everything.
But I'm not including Christmas and Halloween.
They're part of the digital movie club.
So why don't you just do that as an addendum? It's two nights. It's like 2 days, you know? You could do the addendum. Patrick could be in charge of the addendum movie club, which is like 2 days so far. Christmas. What were the three? Christmas.
Justine can do the official list, and Patrick can do the fan-made list, which includes the...
I'm just saying, they're officially part of the digital movie club.
Patrick can do the side list.
Is there what's the third one?
There's nine movies she doesn't have included on her list because they weren't official episodes. But they have the theme music and everything, so I think they can.
Is that right? They have the theme music.
You know what we should be doing?
People will be arguing about this years in the future.
We should be keeping track of the current movies that we do. So that way, when they get to video and we finally get to watch
I think we're lucky that someone's doing the digital movie club.
That's true. No, I'm just saying.
Before she started doing that, we're like, I don't know. What did you rate? I don't know.
Out there in the universe.
I should start keeping track. For real, because by the time we get to...
You're right. In 10 years or something, we're going to go, hey, what did we rate that?
In like a year or two, when we get to Spider-Man... Far From Home, we're going to know, hey, what was our initial reaction?
Yeah.
And then
did it improve it
like,
over time?
What was it like 2 years later? You know,
that's true. You got a point there.
That can be a listener's job.
All right. I designate who's my listener.
The dude who recommended Zardoz. He needs punishment.
Jeff's got his own podcast.
He needs
Well, you know what? He needs to make amends.
I was wondering about that. Who did recommend
Jeff from Kung Fu Drive-In podcast.
Jeff, we got a project for you. You owe us.
Jeff's awesome. He has a great podcast. He's some really good guests, too. So listen to that podcast, at Kung Fu Driving.
All right. So I give Zardoz a one.
A one?
Yeah.
Same as Star Trek, huh?
Yeah. You know, zeros should be saved for like things that are completely inept. You know what I mean?
Had a story. Is confusing.
They gave
it
a try, you know. They gave it the old college try. But a zero should be for things that are like technically inept.
Now, that would have been a great college like kid movie, right there. You know?
I'm trying to think if I'd seen that in 74 as an adult, if I'd liked it any better, you know?
You would have hated it.
It wouldn't have been dated. It would have been artsy-fartsy and rotten, but it wouldn't have been dated. This has the added problem of being dated.
John would have been like, thank God there's boobs.
Let's talk.
In 74.
A little bit.
What?
Thank God there's boobs.
Let's talk Spider-Man.
Okay.
Which Far one? From Home. Who saw it? Everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Who wants to start?
Everyone.
Justine. Justine, you were a big fan of Homecoming?
Yeah. Didn't know I was supposed to bring an extra pair of panties.
Wow.
So she says that and I can't say.
Yeah, there is something wrong.
And I can't mention his abs.
There is something wrong with
it. A washboard is such a weird thing to say.
You've never heard someone say washboard abs.
Why did you need an extra pair? Did he spill his Coke Zero on you?
Because he decided to go change in front of her. I don't know. It was a good movie.
He blipped, so technically he's 21 now.
No,
you look like Phil Donahue when you do that.
I know, I have to.
Yeah, I've never seen you do that.
No, he didn't. Well,
He blipped.
Survey says?
But he didn't age.
Yeah, it's like, I like what he's like, yeah, my brother's now older than me. And the girl's all, so yeah, it's math.
or like Flash orders champagne on the flight. Yeah. And she tells the flight attendant, oh, by the way, ma'am, he's 16.
Yeah, he's technically
He blipped,
not
he's 20. Still 16.
Yeah.
That was great. I like that.
I am doing a Phil Donahue like this with my microphone. So I like doing this because I can lean
Now, back. I want to know the logistics of, like, if you blip, you don't age. But how do people know if you've blipped? Do you need to get like an ID card that says
Well, that was that whole
blipped,
thing.
You know?
That was there was what I love is that they're dealing with the aftermath of Endgame, but they dealt with it in a really funny way. Like watching the band disappear and then reappear in the middle of a basketball game.
The teacher saying that his wife pretended to blip so she could leave him. So messed up.
What I also loved was that they did that really crappy tribute to Tony Stark in the Fallen Avengers with like the stock images from Getty.
Oh yeah, it was so bad. The little
and Whitney Houston
and the Whitney Houston song. That was such a great opening. I love that they've just decided, look, we know you nerds have a million questions, and we're just going to kind of acknowledge them, and then we're going to move on. And that's it. That's what they did. I love that.
Also, I think he said they wanted to make it a little lighter because the last one was so heavy. They said, let's have, you know, have a little fun on the way out, because this is the last, technically, this is the last of the of the 23.
Phase three.
Storyline, I didn't really care for it. And it was kind of predictable. But I felt for him. He just wanted to kiss this girl this whole time while he's getting beat up, getting hit by a train.
That train was brutal.
Yeah.
And you just felt bad for him. You're kind of rooting for him, and I think that's why I like the movie. You're just rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah, this movie really nailed the Peter Parker aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because Peter Parker, if you think about it, is the first superhero, like the Fantastic Four, everybody knew their identities, right? Superman, or it's like this, it's a flip of Superman. Clark Kent was the disguise, and in the Spider-Man's, Peter Parker is who he is. It's not a disguise. He's really nerdy kid.
He's in high school.
He's in high school,
and that was the novelty when the comic came out. There's never been a superhero that was was in high school.
You had like Billy Batson, maybe.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, and if you're Robin, you're the sidekick. But
yeah, but no, it was like this was like he was the focus.
They never dealt with what if a kid. That was the whole fun of it. Is what if this, you're in high school, you got all these problems that a high school kid would have, and you're fighting criminals at the top of a.
It's so cute, and I felt the part when he's making his own costume was super adorable, and I almost cried.
Wait, when does he? Oh, at the plane. When he's doing the Tony Stark,
John Happy's Favre. Staring at him.
Yeah.
I almost cried at that point.
Well, I thought it was really cool when how they really drove the point home with Quentin Beck putting the glasses on and looking like Tony Stark to him. Like, that was really, really, that was a nice little moment because you realize that, what it meant losing him. Then you had zombie Tony Stark.
That was a nice homage to the zombie Marvel episode.
I thought about that. I thought they found a way to work the zombie Marvel comics in.
Yeah. Justine, you didn't like that it was a little predictable?
Yeah. I mean, I love Jake Gyllenhaal, but no, he was just too predictable the whole time. Well, you already knew from watching it, and then...
If you knew anything about Mysterio, you knew he was going to pull a fast one. So that was the hard part.
You knew
part.
He wasn't a good guy.
Yeah, that was the hard part to surprise everyone.
Yeah.
But I did like the depth to which he... to which he took his hoax. Like, it was like on this global level. He was fooling everybody.
That's how you knew he was out of his mind.
And then at the end, to have the wherewithal to say, look, he might take me down, but I'm going to make sure he goes down too.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
And, but he ruined, he was like Renee was saying, we were talking earlier, he's the first villain to just go, guess what? I know who this guy is. And boom, like not try to hide it or... Just comes out and says it. So I thought that was really, really cool.
That was a hell of a thing at the end there. Yeah.
Jake, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I'm going back and forth whether or not I liked it more than Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think I do. I just thought Mysterio was just such an interesting character in that he liked Spider-Man. He liked Peter. And you know, he didn't want to do him any harm, but the second he got in his way, he will do anything and everything to make sure his plan succeeds.
Yes.
So whether it means taking out someone that he, you know, seems to care about or at least liked to some extent.
And, yeah, he seemed annoyed that he had to kill him.
Yeah.
He was very upset that he had to kill his, you know.
And, you know, Peter having to deal with, there's just so much going on. He just wants to have a normal life and...
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing he can do. It's, you know, he's one of the only superheroes who are available right now.
Yeah.
And he has to be the person to make, he has to be the one to make a stand.
It's the great power.
But at the same time, he's just a kid. He just wants to go, he wants to go kiss Mary Drain. He wants to tell her
he even
that
he says
likes
that.
Her.
I'm just a kid. I just want to go on vacation.
He just wants to hang out with his friends and kiss a girl he likes.
Yeah, he was not ready for everything that followed his little cameo in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of set him on a path. that he was not ready for.
He was thrown into the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because I love that about the beginning of Homecoming. He's basically, you know, he's stopping people from stealing bikes and, you know, stopping like ATM robberies. You know, he's basically like a vigilante.
Your friendly neighborhood.
Yeah. He's not.
Just be your neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah.
He's not used to like this global stuff. And neither was Tony Stark, which is why the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been great in that they gave these characters some depth through the course of these movies. But you guys have both said you do feel bad for him. You're like, man, this kid just wants to have his fun on his trip.
He just wants a normal life. Yeah. And that's never going to happen anymore.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Yeah. John, what did you think, man?
I loved it. Yeah, I think I might have liked Homecoming just a little bit more. But this was solid. And you really do feel for him. That's what really pulls you in. What keeps it from just being him, you know, a character just zipping around the rooftops is that you really care for this. He really brings it home.
Yeah.
That he just, you know, just let me have a little bit of normal life here before I'm an adult. And there's just no way. There's too much at stake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fascinating. And also the whole thing where he's still dealing with losing Tony, you know, because that was like a father figure. He lost his uncle. And really, Tony stepped in and was like a father figure, a mentor.
Yeah. But he has Happy now.
Yeah.
That's a nice relationship, too. I like
that. That is, because they both miss Tony, and they can really help each other. I love how he just flew that plane in.
They're codependents.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
They really are. Especially because Peter reminds Happy so much of Tony, too, that's kind of like he's living.
Oh, I love that scene where he says, you know, you think that Tony had it all together, but he didn't. He was all over the place. There's not a decision he didn't second guess. You know, he's just barely holding it together. He says, but the only decision he didn't second guess was that you were ready to take the responsibility, to take the glasses and be the next guy. And I thought that was a really powerful scene.
Yeah. There were some great moments and good acting. Tom Holland does a great job.
He really does. He really does.
And, you know, Zendaya stepped up as MJ because, boy, they nailed that awkward teen.
Oh, man.
Boy, oh, boy.
That hurt.
That took me back.
That
was just like,
so much.
I remember that. You know, the stares, the staring when the other person's not looking, and then they look back and you stare the other way.
Or like even like a trip, like a school trip where you're like, I want to be sitting next to
her. Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, I can't sit next to her. Yeah. You remember all that stuff. Oh, you sit next to her.
Yeah,
now
what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, everything seems like it's
the
end of the world.
Now the whole trip's ruined.
Yeah. I love it. They did a good job.
So imagine that, but the actual fate of the world is you're worried about, you know, the class trip, but you got to now worry that this thing's going to stomp all over the world, you know?
Yeah.
I love the scene where he first, like, tries out Edith. What, Edith?
Yeah. I was just
saying. Tries out Edith to
I was
try
telling
to get
you
the
earlier,
picture off.
One of my favorite shots is that money shot of this, when he says, would you like to make David a target? He's like, yes. And you just see this satellite like, out in space.
You see the drone getting launched out, and like, oh man, that whole scene is so funny.
And then when he figures it out, he's like, oh no, I gotta stop this thing from killing him, you know. That was insane. The teachers, that J.B. Smoove.
Yeah.
He's from Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
And Martin Starr from Freaks and Geeks.
So funny.
Now, who did he play on Freaks and Geeks?
He was
one of the brothers.
He was the kid. He was
the younger brothers.
No, he wasn't one of the brothers.
I thought he was the younger brother of one of the girls, no?
No. That's the guy that's on Bones.
Oh, yeah.
Was he the guy with the glasses?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
He'd come home after school and watch the comedians?
He came home and watched Gary Shandling.
Yeah.
And
that's. I think that's based on Judd Apatow. He says, because that's what he used to do. He used to run home from school and watch. He wanted to watch all the stand-ups, like David Brenner and Robert Klein. So that's him as an adult. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he still kind of looks like that kid.
Well, he's also on Silicon Valley.
Okay.
He was good in Silicon Valley.
Never saw him.
Great in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm. Super funny.
So great. I can't remember the upgrade. Name. Hey, kids, we got an upgrade. And you see the bus with the guy. It's like, oh. it's the...
upgrade.
Yeah. It's the Nick Fury guy. You know. How about that? Now we get to go to Prague. Oh, yeah. I know why we're going to Prague.
And the scenes when Mysterio was
Bill
fighting
Haverchuck.
Peter.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's it.
God, it drove me nuts.
What's that?
The scenes where Peter was fighting Mysterio.
Yeah.
The whole illusions and everything with all the drones and everything. Super cool scenes.
All the illusions, the way he messed with us, the way he got inside his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love the Spider-Sense scene where you finally saw him just like become Spider-Man. Like that
whole... It's kind of weird that he knew his old
Peter
costumes. And you know what I mean? Because he brought him back to the sweater and the goggles. Like, how did he know that?
Oh, that's true.
Good question.
Good question.
Okay, they just have really good researchers.
Okay, nerds out there.
Because he's not the one that, I mean, someone else programmed that.
That's true. That's
true. I mean, but Tony's been keeping an eye on him, though.
Yeah,
Tony. So Tony probably had... Tony probably
they probably just asked Edith for all the data on Peter Parker. Because Tony didn't know he had that costume.
Remember
he gave him a new one. Edith good probably. Job, Jake.
I know, I'm so smart.
Patrick, what did you think, my brother?
I was good. this was the first time that Tom Holland really fit Peter Parker, like far as the nerdy science.
I could fit him.
Whoa.
Wow.
You gotta play some music. Don't do to do.
Yeah, no kidding. Boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Just gonna let that one breathe for a bit.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So if you want shirts that say that on the front, we'll be selling them for $10.
I can fit Tom Holland.
We'll have a picture of Justine on the back. And
anyways,
just smiling.
Yeah. And on the front it says, "I could fit."
Tom. You just found our show's tagline. Finally, after 5 years,
I can fit that.
I can fit Tom.
Well, Holland. At least for the episode, you got a title.
Jesus. Fitting Tom Holland.
Fitting Tom Holland was just...
Your girlfriend texted me and she was like, I totally get it. Like,
is that what you're talking about?
I know.
Chicks, all I know.
Shout out to the Beastie Boys. Groove home.
That's all I heard when I was looking at him.
Right here.
Little drool.
He blipped, so he's 21. I guess. I hope.
I love that I guess. Like it matters.
Patrick.
Anyways, I was saying this is the first time he's really been Peter Parker, like as far as matching the comic book character pretty well.
Yes.
Being that kind of geeky science. Like he nerded out, and that's the first time I think we've ever seen him do that to where it fit the character. And then it was just a really nice emotional progression for him, how he was struggling with the loss of Tony and also dealing with the fact that Happy wants to date his aunt and how he's the he's the only person to stand up against this threat.
Of Happy dating of his
happy
aunt.
Dating
of
his
happy
aunt.
Dating his aunt. And it was a nice scene at the end where he sits them both down together and Aunt May's just like, oh, well, this really isn't anything for me. And Happy's like, wait, what?
She said it was like a summer fling.
Yeah.
And he's got the exact opposite. What?
Yeah. That was cute. And then Mysterio was really, really well done.
Yes.
Both visually, that was fantastic. And then just like, it was pretty much his backstory to the T.
Mm-hmm.
They ad-libbed a little bit with him working for Tony Stark, but the fact that his was all visual effects and it was predictable, but if you've read the comics. If you hadn't read the comics, I can see how, you know, it would have been a little bit easier going into it. But it was a lot of fun. It was good.
I did like that they gave him a good relationship with Peter, and like we said, he was like a surrogate father figure for him.
I mean,
he was using that to his ends.
Yeah,
which is
was
what
good,
he needed at the time, because he was just looking for someone to latch onto.
Mm-hmm.
Than Tony. And you could tell he was still like a crazy person. And it was good. It was well done. It was fun.
Yeah.
There wasn't really anything that dragged the movie down or anything like that. And there's some really cool scenes.
What did you guys think of those post-credit scenes?
So the guy playing J. Jonah Jameson, that was in the Tobey Maguire's, right?
Yes, the same one.
Mm-hmm. Who was playing him in the Andrew Garfield's? Was there anybody playing
I don't remember
J. Jonah?
I don't remember if there was a Jameson.
Because he was born to play J. Jonah Jameson. He looks like him. That's sounds like him.
I don't remember either.
I thought that was interesting. So where do you go now? The world knows that he's Peter Parker. What are they going
to
do?
I love that he's like this Alex Jones character, type character.
Yeah.
He's got like a website.
So
dailybugle.com. Not even like a newspaper.
So now what?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Now, they did that in the comics many times, right?
Yeah. It was supposed to be Doctor Strange goes back, but Tony Stark is also in that comic, and they go back and basically take that whole part out.
Because
they said they can't erase everyone's memories, so what they're going to do is take that out of the timeline.
Was that to protect
Spider-Man.
Which comic was that? Civil War?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read it. I watched
it. It happened in Civil War when
you mean it was in a movie?
No, it was, there were just a lot of people analyzing it.
It happened in Civil War where when they go through the whole Avengers initiative, he reveals his identity in front of the press and everything.
He's
like
on that side.
He's on that side.
Okay.
And then he switches over.
Until Captain America talks to him,
and he switches over. But I mean, that may have been how they addressed his identity being revealed. I don't remember.
Yeah. So in a later comic, Doctor Strange basically takes it out of the timeline. Just
it's Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Good old Doctor Strange.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think that was it was a nice touch that you know there's a villain who actually was knows who he was and was gonna be like fuck it no
yeah
this kid you know screwed up all my plans I'm gonna get him.
Pretty bad.
And so, it makes for an interesting situation when it's going to happen.
The next... Yeah, it's going to make it... And not only that, but they'll be after him because they make that clip look like he's the one that called in the strike on the bridge. So I mean,
they did that too in the comics where they made him the villain.
Ah!
And you know what? That might be a good introduction for, you know, when he gets the Venom suit even too.
Yeah. I hope they put that off a little longer. I've never been a big fan of Venom.
Well, he's a good character. It's just never been done well. That's the problem.
You didn't like the Tom Hardy?
No.
They just did?
No, it was really poorly done.
Yeah, it's the first Marvel movie I didn't go out to see.
It wasn't Marvel. It was Sony. It
wasn't really a Marvel movie.
It looked
cool. Oh, you're right. It wasn't part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Nope. No, it was Sony.
And that's what I'm afraid of, Sony. I guess, apparently, I read an article. The agreement is that if this doesn't make $1 billion...
It's down to the money.
If it doesn't make $1 billion, Sony gets the rights back for number three.
Really? Mm-hmm. Jesus. That's
well, this one was done by Sony. It wasn't.
No, but
it's a joint effort, right?
The MCU, they take it back completely without.
Really? Mm-hmm. So it's down to the dollar. Wow.
Which sucks. I hope it makes it because I don't want.
If it doesn't make $1 billion.
I don't want Sony to ruin a.
Yeah,
third
what
one.
If it, I mean, it looks like it's set up for a great.
That's some, yeah, it's. I mean, it could go a lot of places.
That was a dumb plan because. That was a dumb plan. Whoever
it's already made up. It's already made $500 million.
And that's just being conceited, thinking they can do better after having 23 successful movies.
They had to be bailed out after that second Andrew Garfield. They came hat in hand to Marvel saying we don't know how to do them, so you're gonna have to help us out. Yeah.
And now they got money from it. It's like okay, we want them back now.
Oh, just put the guys who did the Into the Spider-Verse on it, and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So the second tag, I'm not even sure I got what that was. That's the Kroll and the whole thing.
The Skrull is basically at some point.
Is it the Kroll or the Skrull?
Skrull.
At some point, Nick Fury went into space on a different mission and they're covering for him.
So all of this stuff with Nick Fury, that was never the real Nick Fury.
Nope.
No.
We don't know from how long. We don't know it's probably after. There's speculation for when it happened, but I would assume it's going to be after Tony's funeral.
Sure, that had to be Nick Fury.
I think
Fury
he
at
had
the
to
funeral.
Have been there at the funeral. Yeah. There's no way he wouldn't have.
Weren't the Skrull there at the funeral, or no?
No.
Now they. I've already forgotten. They when we after the Captain Marvel movie ends, they are like the good guys, right?
They're good guys, and they're helping out
for now. Yeah,
they're helping out. So that was a nice touch that the Kree are the bad guys
for now.
And what he's doing is he's searching out Kree supercells throughout.
For now.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, for now, over there.
At the very beginning, like in the 60s, weren't they the Skrull bad guys
they're
in
bad
Fantastic
guys,
Four?
Yes, the Kree and the Skrull.
Yeah. They're bad guys in the comic throughout. So
was it just the movies that said, let's see if we can make them
the
good guys?
This is the first time this has ever happened.
It's interesting.
It's a different touch. And the Kree are very militaristic.
You guys keep talking.
The comic books, and they made them out to be worse in the movies, which is an interesting touch.
Keep talking.
Yeah, I kind of like the shift because my initial reaction for the Skrull were to be these like evil, you know, villains who are trying to just take over every planet.
Yeah, because I was remembering those old Fantastic Fours where they were
kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to see some mutant Skrulls. Like that's, I mean, we probably won't because you're not going to see any X-Men, but
mutant Skrulls. Was that in the comment?
Yeah, so what they do is they pull a rogue and they take other people's powers, but it actually physically affects the way they look too and everything, which is really cool.
I love when I felt for Tom Holland when he goes out and he's like, how do I know you know me? And
tell
me something about
you. Oh yeah.
But then right before that, wasn't that when he got hit and he gets out of the prison next to those guys?
Oh, in Norway.
So
or
funny.
No, it was
put a shirt right on before, you look cold.
Right before they're in
they're in Norway
Sweden,
or something.
The Netherlands.
That was such a cute scene.
And he asks for a phone, and the guy's like, "Here's my phone."
He's like, "Keep it." And you're just like, "Wait, what?"
I love how he just breaks the lock and walks out, and they're like, "Oh."
And then they shut the gate.
They're like, "We don't particularly want to come out. We're
really
sleeping
cute.
It off." That was a good scene. Is Mario okay?
Yeah, I'm great. My back's hurting. I'm on the floor. Don't worry, guys.
Is that from the tooth?
I don't think so, but this is great because it feels like I'm listening to the show. Because all I can see is the ceiling.
Yeah.
Down here on the ground.
How's it feel?
Feels good. How do I sound?
Sound good.
You sound fine.
You sound grounded.
Oh, that's good.
There's a Beatles song that John Lennon sang while laying on the ground. I can't think of what it was.
I Love the Nightlife. I Love the Boogie.
John Lennon?
What's that from, John?
I don't know. Somebody, it's not John Lennon.
Somebody laying on the floor singing, I Love the Nightlife.
Oh, Perry Como. Mr. Relaxation.
That's it, buddy.
And then you got to go, fame. I want to live forever. Yes, it's Mr. Relaxation in his new special. Perry Como sings the hits.
He's laying on the floor.
That's
the
so
stage.
Great. They have to like carry him out. I think they carry him out on a stretcher. Fame.
I want to live forever.
Perry Como.
All right. Scrolls.
Nobody has ever said Perry Como and Skrulls in the same sentence.
Skrulls, yeah. Bad guys, now good guys.
What if the Skrulls become Perry Como?
What are you
going
to do?
How about if a Skrull said, hot diggity, boom ziggity?
Well, here's what I think. I think I like... Homecoming to me is slightly better because the villain, Michael Keaton, is so good as... The vulture.
It feels like a classic Spider-Man.
When he
story.
Decides not to reveal his identity just to the other guy.
Oh, to Gargan?
Yeah.
To who?
Gargan. He's a scorpion. Gargan is the scorpion.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was going to kind of be the next movie. Yeah. In jail, right?
Yeah. They're setting up for the Sinister Six.
Oh, that's right. Because they've done Mysterio and all that. Although I think they're a little reluctant to do characters that have already been done.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line.
Who sang that?
Engines bumping and thumping in time.
Because somebody asked Kevin Feige if they were going to do, you know, if they're going to redo the Green Goblin or the Lizard or any of those guys. And he said,
I hope not.
He says they've kind of been done. He says, maybe. He says, but we kind of want to do characters that haven't been done, like Mysterio.
Yeah, I think that'll be more interesting.
They pulled it off. It was great.
Yeah.
They have really good actors so far for their villains.
Yeah, no kidding.
For him.
Yeah. I think that, too, is been helping them a lot, is having a really strong... You know, villain actor has been really good.
Yeah, and we've seen the Green Goblin twice, so it's like we don't need to do that again, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a million villains, you know, we don't have to just keep going.
I'll tell you another great thing about this movie, and both of them, because it made me want to watch, the great thing about the movie is it made me want to watch Homecoming again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went home, rewatched Homecoming, and I forgot how great that was. Boy, oh boy, Michael Giacchino. He is becoming the next John Williams, man. Mm. All his scores are fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack was pretty good.
The score was great. And, of course, John, you got the Ramones in there.
I love that they got the Ramones in again.
Led Zeppelin?
That's so great. Oh, I love that Led Zeppelin.
Was it that? I forget what song it was, like the Bongo La. Bongo Cha Cha Cha.
Oh, you always like, you should listen to Esquivel. Jake, do you know who Esquivel is?
Space Age Bachelor Pad. What?
You should listen to Esquivel.
What's that?
Google it.
Esquivel?
He did Space Age Bachelor music.
It sounds
in the
like 60s. A board game.
Esquivel.
Yeah, how do I play?
He was a Mexican composer. Yeah, he wrote a Space Age, like, he did this version of Brazil where it sounds like it's the whole song is like 10 minutes long, and it's just a guy walking down the street and going to different bars and hearing different versions of the same song. Like he did all kinds of weird stuff, but check him out. He'll like
mucha,
it.
Mucha, mucha.
Oh, yeah. Listen to that one. Play that one. That's from Nacho Libre.
Oh.
He kind of made a comeback when all that lounge music was...
Keep going. No, John, keep going.
Oh, you know, like Martin Denny, like Les Baxter, all that stuff. I mean, that's the same era, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You know, I think there's even an Esquivel Christmas album.
Esquivel. So get some of that. Mm-hmm. I think that song is on the soundtrack. Not the score, the soundtrack.
For Nacho Libre?
No. The one he was singing.
Oh. It's on the actual soundtrack, yes.
Yeah.
This guy that did the music for Spider-Man, he also did The Incredibles, right?
Yes.
So he's really...
That was incredible.
He's done a couple of the Mission Impossibles.
So
he's really good. He did the music for Up.
Oh,
and
Lord.
for Cocoa, so
two and Lost.
Two great scores.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
When we left Dublin, I was showing Patrick. I'm like, he's performing there. We just
really?
Missed him.
No kidding.
He was posting. He went to Skellig Michael also. Anyways,
what's Skellig Michael?
That rock in the middle of the ocean, Justine
for
threw
Star
up
Wars.
On.
Oh.
The Pog Rock.
Yeah.
The one she Pork. Threw up on.
He was Poor posting Brock. All these pictures, and we were just there.
Wow. Doesn't that kill you?
I
was like, dang,
he had a concert. I totally would have.
Isn't it crazy when you're somewhere like that, and somebody you want to see is there? You know, you're like, God, I'm miles from home, and look who's playing.
Somewhere.
That's next week.
Out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if I got that right, next week is Wizard of Oz.
King Kong.
King Kong and All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yep.
Oh, I already watched All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, I just what you think.
I always enjoy it.
I think I was listening last week. I think if Justine is giving King Kong two tries, she should just pick up where she left off.
Yes. Nope. I think so too. Because why do I have to watch her again?
Exactly. And so where have you left off? Is it always on the island?
Dinosaur. Always at the dinosaur. She stopped every single time.
So she knows
then,
what's
then start at the dinosaur.
And every time I stopped, I rewatched it. So I've seen her do it so many times on the boat.
It's going to affect, if you watch it the first half a third time, it's going to affect your enjoyment of the movie. So pick up where you left off. And you'll see this great stuff where he goes back to New York, you know.
Yeah, got permission. We're good.
How do you not like the dinosaur, though?
No, but she's seen it twice.
Dinosaurs. You know?
It's the beginning part. Mm-hmm.
John Sandy approves.
Yep.
No, it's just that I love that movie, so if she's going to just turn her brain off to the second half, better that she starts in where she left off, you know.
John, what if she just doesn't like the movie?
It's possible, but give it a shot.
Are you going to be okay?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you like dinosaurs?
That's just when I fall asleep.
Dino DNA.
Dinosaur.
They have an exhibit going on of all his models right now.
Really? Where?
In Sweden, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not local, John.
I thought it was somewhere.
I wish.
So that's,
that's the Willis O'Brien stuff.
Why'd you even bring that up?
No, it's a lot of... it's a private collection from this woman, and I'm trying to remember her name, and I can't. But it's a lot of stuff from Titans.
See, I've seen all the Ray Harryhausen stuff because that was at the at LACMA and at the Academy. They had all his models.
Was it?
Yeah, years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I think it also might have some of his.
The Willis O'Brien?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw the armature, the actual King Kong armature. That was at Forry Ackerman's house.
Oh, okay.
I saw that about 20 years ago. But when he died, I don't know, I guess that stuff went to the four corners of the earth. So you say this is somebody's private collection?
It's somebody's private collection.
Because I think that stuff got auctioned off when he passed away. He was showcasing it in his own house, like for free. Like once a month, he'd just give tours of his stuff. I mean, like he literally just had it in his living room and garage, you know. But
isn't
that's
that
cool.
Crazy?
Well, he wanted it to all end up in the same place.
That's sad.
He had he had this incredible collection of horror, sci-fi, and monster stuff. I think he had like the robot from Metropolis. Somebody rebuilt that robot, actual size. He had all kinds of posters and lobby cards and props and masks. And when he was like on his deathbed, he was saying, he says, I don't want to make any money on it. I just want it all to be in the same spot. If some museum will just take it and keep it together so it's not parceled off in pieces.
That's what Debbie Reynolds did.
Exactly.
She wanted to collect everything and keep it together.
Yeah. And
it's
she had
so
a similar...
heartbreaking.
It's
heartbreaking.
And she spent
her
own money.
Yeah, and she was almost broke because of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and she kept working to pay... because MGM was just going to just go, yeah, whoever wants it. So she was there every day bidding.
Yeah.
She got the shoes, Dorothy's shoes.
Yeah.
And
her whole collection. Yeah.
And it was the same thing. Nobody was interested in putting it on display in one spot. So I think the same thing happened. It all just got parceled out.
Ugh.
And what I was thinking with all this monster stuff that Forry Ackerman had was, I don't understand why somebody like Lucas or Spielberg didn't go, yeah, sure. I'll take it.
Because they like their money and they're horrible human beings.
He just wanted all in one spot. And all those guys claimed that they started their career reading that magazine, Famous Monsters.
Well, I don't know.
All they had to do was just step in and go, oh, yeah, I'll take it.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
You just wonder. They must have known. If somebody could have just stepped in and said, well, I'll do it. I'll just take it and put it in one spot and we'll keep your collection together. I don't understand that.
What ended up happening to the collection?
Because the studio wants to make their money.
When he passed away, I think to cover medical costs, I think. As he got older, he auctioned some of it off. He had to. And he moved to a much smaller house. And I think when he died, I don't know what was in the will, who he left it to, but he did not realize his dream of keeping all that stuff in one spot.
It's terrible.
Also, somebody else took over the magazine, and I think it was a bad deal. They got all the posters, photos, and lobby cards, and that ended up not being a good deal. They didn't do a very good job with the reboot of the magazine. So anyway, I've kind of gone off on a tangent here, but if I was in Sweden, I'd go check that out.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the Europe.
Thanks for bringing that up. In Sweden.
The great thing is so what's cool is he's not, you know, when he gets to New York, things really start. If you're bored by the dinosaurs, wait till he gets to New York.
Oh, I didn't know he got... I haven't seen that part.
I love that. I didn't know he goes to New York.
That's when he takes like the...
His eyes. I didn't know King Kong went to New York.
That's when like the plane flies and he kind of
yes.
grabs it.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
You know he's on top of the Empire State Building.
But I haven't seen
building.
It in the movie.
Wait, hold on. Do you know what building he's on top of?
The Empire State Building.
Do you know that because John just said that?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you want to know something? I'll tell you.
You know what I saw that was kind of similar to that would be Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Or, not the kids. Honey, I Shrunk... What is it when the baby gets big?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Blew Up the Kids. Yeah, that's when the baby's up there and he's kind of acting like Godzilla. And I'm like, oh.
King Kong.
You know...
King Kong.
You're not married, Patrick. You can just... You
the look
get
on
out
your
of
face
this.
When she said, "I didn't know he went to New York." You just, your eyes rolled back in your head.
You didn't see the one
that mini stroke.
The newer King Kong with Jack Black.
No.
Oh.
I saw Kong Skull Island.
That's a great one.
But he doesn't go to New York.
It's not.
No.
He stays in
I
Vietnam
love
or
Kong's
wherever
King
it is.
That's when they fight the skull things.
Skull Island is great.
You know what's funny?
The skull lizards.
When I went, the one time I went to New York, I went to the top of the Empire State Building, and there was this elderly couple right in front of me. And on the very top, they said, "What's the movie when those two people meet at the top of the Empire State Building?"
Seattle?
And I said, "King Kong." You know the one where the two people meet on the top of the building? No, they were talking about an Affair to Remember.
Oh.
Was my, but you know, that's Sleepless in Seattle is based on An Affair to Remember.
Oh.
So you're...
I don't even know what that movie is.
Yeah, they mention it like 20 times in Sleepless in Seattle. It's the movie that they're watching and she's crying.
Oh.
Is that the one where Tom Hanks is watching The Dirty Dozen?
Yeah, they start crying about The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, no.
Trini Lopez
gets gunned down. That's such a great scene.
They're crying.
You think men don't cry in movies? Remember in The Dirty Dozen? He doesn't make it.
I love it. We're going to watch that one. Maybe. Dirty Dozen. Let's give those rankings. Spider rankings.
God.
The Peter Tingle. I love how nobody ever said Spidey Sense.
Yeah. No, it's like Spider Sense was trademarked and they couldn't say it. So they're just like, what do we call it?
Peter Tingle. And he's like, don't say that.
That's what Justine Peter gets Tingle. All the time.
She gets
the Peter Tingle.
She gets the Holland Tingle.
I make his Peter. No.
Whoa!
Maybe that's what you should call the show.
Whoa.
I'll
Peter
tingle
single.
Your Peter.
Wow.
That's the second shirt. We're going to make some money.
No, it's the first one on the front and on the back.
There
it
you
says,
go.
Yeah,
there
I'll
you go.
Tingle your Peter.
So, okay.
Kill me now.
Patrick, can you get on that, please? Thanks.
So, Justine, you want to tell us what your score is?
8.5.
8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
You enjoyed the old web shooter, huh?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. My shooters aren't working. There's a pill for that.
Jake, what'd you give it?
I give it a 9.5.
9.5?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Jake loved
great.
It.
What'd you give it?
9.5.
9.5.
John?
I give it an 8. A solid 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn good.
Patrick?
Same. Solid 8.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8.
There you
solid
go.
Solid 8.
There you go.
Just the lack of... You know what really takes points away is that you can't... It's not a standalone...
It is.
You know.
You have to see... In order to really get a lot of it, you can't take someone cold off the street
that's true.
And go...
That's true.
You have to know the whole
There's
Iron Man.
There's a lot of undercurrents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That huge connection he has in Endgame with him...
Yeah.
Without that, I mean, it kind of makes it tough if you hadn't seen that. Yeah.
Makes you wonder how many people are just walking in
but
cold.
But we're not rating it based on
it doesn't matter.
The
that's
information
what, that's,
surrounding
I'm telling
it.
You, it gets an 8.
Everyone's got their own reasons for why something doesn't hit 10.
Jake, we're rating it on the cinematic impact it had on ourselves.
Yes.
And that is based off of our experiences and our influences and our opinions.
Thank
that
you.
Was Dr. Patrick.
I'm Thank rating you, Pat. It on how he looks. And it's pretty good. He even said that he was beefier in this one. Like he bulked up more. I was like, yeah, I see it. But... I mean, and you also have Jake in there, and That's Jake's true. Pretty hot, so you got Jake and Tom Holland.
How old were you when
you
met
at the 8.5.
Patrick? How old were you when you met Patrick?
Stop.
I'm just asking. Asking for a friend.
Were you cradle robbing?
Gee, Mrs. Ricardo.
Asking for a podcast audience.
Gee, Mrs. Ricardo.
Whose phone is ringing?
You're sort of well preserved.
Who's that?
Hello, Chief. This is Max.
Who would have a phone during a podcast?
I don't know.
You know what I like about homecoming, though? I got to see him cry.
Oh, you like when they cry?
It's adorable.
He cried in this one.
Adorable.
Are you crying in this one?
He sure didn't like cry.
He always cries. Every movie.
I think he got upset he didn't cry.
He was upset after when he was getting the stitches.
Yeah, he's upset, but
he was mad. He's angry.
In Homecoming, upset. He's like crying, and you're like, oh, God.
Homecoming, he cried underneath the rubble.
Yeah, Homecoming's all about the realization of his strength. This is him finding his purpose.
You know? And this is him becoming that scene. I loved that scene on the London Bridge where he's just flying around taking down all the drones because he realized,
so good.
Dude, he's Spider-Man. He's become Spider-Man.
And he's Spider-Man. Doing exactly what Tony would have done. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the movements and stuff. Like, it's kind of good parallel as far as the way Tony moves through a fight. It's the same thing you sort of saw as he's moving from one opponent to the next pretty quickly, taking down enemies.
Mm-hmm. He's getting better at it. He's been in some battles now.
Yeah,
he's been in some big battles. Yeah.
And it was super cool because we were just at the Tower of London. When they went to go see the Crown Jewels, I'm like, Crown Jewels is totally there at that place.
So did it look right?
Yeah. They go in the vault because we were in that vault. I remember touching like the door and everything.
So it looked right.
I was trying to see if it was real.
Yeah.
It was.
I was like, that's knock, cool. knock.
Did you touch like, the same door that Happy touched?
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah.
Did you touch the jewels? I had to. I'm sorry. Crickets.
Whose jewels, Justine?
The king's jewels.
Well, Tom Holland wasn't in that scene. Hey, I'm not touching Happy's jewels.
King Richard's jewels.
Okay, guys. Excuse me.
You're like, end of show. This conversation is over.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm
so they let you walk in the vault, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
When you go wait in line for Crown Jewels, yeah.
What is the story? Did they tell you? Did something happen with the London Bridge got bought by somebody in America
or something? Know.
What is it that was in England that got bought and shipped to like Arizona or something? Have I got that right?
No. They built the London Bridge in Havasu with bricks they bought.
Ah, okay.
They brought them from England.
I gotcha. Okay. Because I thought, what? How could that happen?
Mm-hmm. No. It's a bridge in Lake Havasu.
Okay.
Where
they call it London Bridge?
Yeah, they call it London Bridge.
And if we were there a year earlier, we would have seen a statue of Jeff Goldblum posed in front of those.
And what's that
London Bridge?
That would have been great.
You didn't see it?
What's
that
from? And we missed the Trump baby.
I'll show
balloon.
You later.
What's the connection? Why do it?
Oh, it was an art piece. Someone did a huge statue of him, and he's just posed out in front of the...
Who better to be a giant statue than Jeff Goldblum?
Heck yeah.
And it's the one where he's lounging and his shirt's all open.
Yeah, his shirt's open.
From Jurassic Park.
Yep. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That's a good one.
I knew there was a specific movie.
Guys, I have a question for you.
No? Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was our review of Spider-Man. Please. Yep.
We kind of went off the rails there.
And what's your question?
Mm-mm. What are you saying for?
Just kidding.
And what's your question?
I'm so low energy today. Getting our tooth ripped
out.
Yeah,
but really.
you had major...
Getting a tooth ripped out.
What's going
really
on? Trying to get a text? Anything you want to share with the class?
You had major oral surgery today.
Oral Hershiser.
You had major oral Hershiser today.
That's it. Ready? Here we
oral
go.
Oral Rickenbacker.
This is from Mixtape.
Orville Redenbacher.
www.mixtapethegame.com.
John, he's having a stroke.
You're excited for your first date with a new love interest, but after waiting nervously at the restaurant for some time, you realize your date stood you up.
Aww.
What song do you play? What song do you play? What song do you play?
Everybody Hurts.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was going to play some like upbeat song.
What do you got, Jake?
Hold on.
Or the Hulk Walking Away music.
Hold on.
God, that's a giant hole in your mouth.
Ooh, did you see it?
Yeah.
What?
Couldn't not see it.
It's a molar, man. It's awesome. Came right out. Popped right out. I feel so much better, though, otherwise.
Hmm.
It's that sweet relief of having that space.
Space.
Final frontier.
These are the voyages of the starship.
Pissed
Mario.
Off by Real Big Fish.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm pissed off. Real Big Fish.
What do you got, Justine? You just got stood up. I don't know. You're excited for your first date with Tom Holland. With Tom Holland. But after waiting nervously at the restaurant for some time.
Wait, it's Tom Holland?
You realize Tom Holland stood you up.
Wait, I thought it's just a blind date.
What song do you play?
Oh, yeah, and your blind date was Tom Holland.
No, you don't know who
that's
the person is.
That's not a blind date.
If
you
it's
don't,
a blind date, that, I would probably say
Time out. It does not say blind. It never said that blind date.
What does it say?
You're excited for your first date with a new love interest.
Tom Holland.
Oh, crap.
Okay. I love that Tom
Holland. Well, now I got to change my whole song.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, what's that song, Feeling Myself? I'm just going to just go out happy, but.
Wow, there you
that's
go.
A song?
You know, like come up again and just go somewhere else. Like, fine, I guess I'll go to a club.
What do you got? No. What do you got, John? You just got stood up?
No, I'm bummed.
Ever fallen in love with somebody you shouldn't have fallen in love with? The Buzzcocks.
Wow, I would have gone, hello, darkness, my old friend.
That's a good one. Or Behind Blue Eyes by The Who.
That's a very good one.
Oh, that is a good
cry
one.
Yourself to sleep.
How about Go to Hell by Alice Cooper?
There you go.
Yeah. That's a good one.
What do you got, Justine?
I don't know. I don't think I would be that bummed out. It would be more. I would Tom need Holland. Something to
Again,
like
heartless.
Boost my energy.
Tom Holland.
No, I would just
even
boost
if it
my
was
energy.
Tom Holland.
Well, that's valid. What song would it be?
I don't know.
Just, it doesn't say how to feel. It just says what song.
Even if
play.
Tom Holland was interested, and then
I usually just turn to like '90s.
You would play. You'd play "Walking on Sunshine." Wow! Boop, 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 boop.
Wow! I don't remember there being a cat in that.
Come on.
Wow. I would definitely just search for a song to just boost my energy back up
go.
Again.
And
I don't know. I wouldn't be bummed. I wouldn't be that sad. It would suck, but then I would need to bring myself up.
Yeah,
so
the question doesn't even say how you'd feel. It just says what song would you play, right?
Yeah. That is correct, John. You are absolutely right.
So it wouldn't be this song, though.
Let's see.
Wow! She really does it. Okay, I stand corrected.
Not exactly like Mario, but yeah.
Wow.
That's exactly what she did.
Wow.
Wait, I said wow. That's exactly what I did.
One more time.
The listeners will know the truth.
The truth will set you free.
I invite you all.
It's so
cordially.
No, don't say it.
Except for Patrick, who believed in me. I invite all of you, minus Patrick, cordially to suck it. All right.
I love
play Destiny's Child.
I've never been
Child.
Cordially invited.
Destiny's Child.
I always invite you cordially.
Mm-hmm. No, you just say I invite
Destiny's
you to suck
Child
it.
Is a group.
I feel so special.
As a group.
With Beyonce?
With Beyonce.
Okay. See, I got that.
I would play
I don't know who the Jonas.
Jumpin'.
I still don't know who the Jonas Brothers are, but I got Destiny's Child.
I don't
really
know their songs, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I got something for you to play. I got something to play for John. I got a little something to play here, John. This is... this is a group that you and I enjoy, and they're going to do a cover of a song that we enjoy, and let's listen to it, John, shall we?
And that band is... Zardoz!
Substitute teacher this morning. My name is Mr. Goodbody. We'll be reviewing the text from Moby Dick. So please turn now to page 69.
It's Inara George, the bird and the bee.
Got it.
They're doing their second. You know, they did the a cover of an album of
covers,
Hall and Oates. So a couple years ago.
Right.
So this new one is all Van Halen covers.
Really?
Yes.
When's that coming out?
Next month.
That's Lowell George's daughter.
I believe so.
How about that? Very sexy voice.
Yeah. Right. That's a great song. Great little version for her.
Okay, I got it. if it's Tom Holland, I would do Barry White, Never Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah!
There you go.
There you go.
What's, let me ask you guys.
If it's Tom Holland. If it's not Tom Holland, I'm going out and I'm just going to find someone else.
Let me ask you
a
question. What song would you play while riding Falcor the Luck Dragon?
I thought you were going to say Tom Holland.
She's got a one-track mind. What was it? Sparks that had that song, All You Ever Do Is Think. All You Ever Think About Is Sex.
Heroes by David Bowie.
Oh, great pick, man. Great pick.
Solid pick, man.
It's a good song.
Great
yeah,
song.
Yeah, man.
Best Bowie song ever.
Because, you know, we could be heroes just for one
day. Just for one day.
If you're writing what?
Falcor the Luck Dragon.
I don't know who that is.
That's from Never Ending Story, John.
Never seen it.
Are we going to watch
Never Ending Story.
Is that on the list?
Did you watch Stranger Things yet?
No, I don't. I refuse.
Remember, he doesn't like Stranger
they
Things
sing
because
it.
Of your review.
They sing it in the movie.
I live the 80s. I don't need to.
That's why John or Mario doesn't trust your opinion about things because you made him watch Stranger Things, and he said from that on he'd never trust your opinion.
Christ. That goes, boy, when you hold a grudge, you hold a grudge.
No, that, I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
I never said that.
You said it on the air.
Yeah, no, you did.
Somebody gave me season one, DVD box of season one.
Is it good?
I haven't had time to watch it yet.
I haven't seen it
I'm
yet.
Two seasons behind. I guess
you have Netflix, don't you?
I'm going to watch
I
it.
I don't.
I just haven't got around. I will watch it. I watched the first two seasons.
Oh, you did?
I didn't watch the second one.
So then watch this third one.
I will watch
it. You know what might drive me to get Netflix? I just heard there's a show of Cuphead. Right?
What, really?
Is there really? I haven't seen anything.
The Times yesterday said there's a TV show of Cuphead.
Not that I know of. There's an art show coming up.
Well, it was in the LA Times. Did I get that wrong? I thought it was on Netflix. They said there'll be a show. It's the one that looks like 30s, Fleischer, Disney. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Here's your song for Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Justine. You know what this is, right? John? This will be your song, Justine.
I don't know it. You'll I know feel like Elvis is going to start singing.
It's in
though.
The works.
This is a great band called the Hot Club of Cowtown.
Right? It's in the works.
Okay.
They're also going to add a Minecraft series and a Witcher series.
I'm an old cowhand.
There you go.
From the Rio Grande. But my legs ain't bald.
This is what you, is what you listen to when you're riding on the range.
Did you enjoy me singing Peaches last week?
Right, was that on the extra show?
No, it was on the original one. I had that song stuck in my head.
I
it was at the end.
John does not like Presidents of the United States of America.
I didn't say that.
You don't.
He likes that. I didn't say that. That's a K-Rock band. That's
See,
like,
I knew it.
That's
I knew
like, it. Not in the same sense that Depeche Mode is a K-Rock band.
Oh, God. Every your third own, song, Depeche Mode, or freaking U2.
Personal Jesus. Always talking about Jesus.
What's our next question, or did nobody That's else it. Answer?
Here's a great song by the President of the U.S. of the United States of America that I like. You guys ready? Let's.
No.
You don't want to hear it?
No, okay. I'm good.
All right, cool.
I'll hear it.
You know what song this is, John?
Sounds great. It's a cover, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know they can't come up with this on their own. Just kidding. I love the president, too.
I just like that one song.
I like that aggressive guitar. It's nice.
Hey, the MC5.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's good.
The Motor City 5.
I like
that's like sped up.
It's good stuff.
That's not bad. What's the other hit they had?
This right here. We're going to play it for you right now. This is what Jake, you do the vocals background. Patrick, I want you on main vocals. You ready? You do this.
I was singing it all last week.
I don't remember that being on the show.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop singing. He was in the background.
To the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches.
Come on, Patrick.
I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
It's that kind of song you can sing to someone just to frustrate them.
And you did.
What you don't know is Peaches is Justine's nickname for Tom Holland.
Damn.
I'm gonna eat all those peaches. Peaches come from a can.
Peaches come in a can.
I just like the intro.
Whatever happened to that band?
I don't know. The lead singer looked like he was about 60 back when they were big, so he was like a kind of a Michael Stipe looking
impeached.
Guy.
Yeah. Nobody?
That's me in the spotlight. That's me in the corner.
I'm guessing you don't like
REM. In the spot.
No, God. Like,
I do not like REM. All right, John, let me ask you a question. This is a serious question now, everybody.
Yep.
Serious question.
Yes.
What band or song changed the way you think about music? Mm. What band or song changed the way you think about music? I'm going to guess from John it's the Beatles. Right? It has to be.
The first time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a couple moments like that. But yeah, for the first time, my mind was blown. Yeah, it probably was the Beatles. Like, Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
Just going, holy shit, this is amazing. That would have been like 6th grade, 7th grade.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Beatles. Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Mama Don't Like My Man.
That, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. I just made that band racist.
Sharon Jones.
Sharon Jones. And the Dap Kings.
Huh.
That's a great band.
That is a great band, and one that no one ever talks about.
I love their music.
That is good stuff.
Did she just pass away?
She did, I believe. She had cancer a few years ago.
I've never heard that song. I'll have to listen to
it. What's it called?
Mama Don't Like My Man.
So that blew your mind.
Yeah, it just kind of changed my opinion of like what kind of music I like.
Mm. Very good.
Justine, do you have one of them?
I mean, mine's for a different reason. Mine's a whole album.
Okay, go.
It's the Jackson 5, the Ultimate Collection album.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember connecting with my dad with that album because he let me repeat it over and over on a road trip. And I learned all the words, and he would sing along too. And then that's probably the last time we ever really did that.
That's wow. Awesome, though.
Because he really liked Jackson 5. I guess they were around the same age or something. I don't know.
He probably, I mean, they were huge. Yeah. You couldn't escape them.
Yeah,
they were 71, 72.
He loved Jackson 5 and Michael
pretty
Jackson.
Pretty big, right?
So.
Jackson 5?
They even had their own cartoon show, Saturday morning cartoon show.
Yeah. That's right.
With them doing their own voices.
A movie.
I don't have too many songs where I sing with my dad, so.
That must have been a nice memory.
Jackson 5, yeah. I just remember being in the van.
The whole trip.
Doing the road trip, and he let me just repeat the whole album over and over.
So. That is happy music, man.
Yeah. Did you say you had the Christmas Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that the Ultimate Collection had a good mix of songs in there.
Probably like every hit, huh?
Yeah, I have that one memorized. It doesn't really... It's just a good memory for me.
Great driving music, too. Mm-hmm.
Is that it's a live one.
I can't find one that's a studio one.
I have it.
Bust it out.
She's such a good singer.
Jake?
It'd have to be Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo.
What?
Just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time.
That was the... I think, like, I'd always heard 80s music from my mom because I just grew up around it. But I hadn't ever really heard that much of Oingo Boingo until my uncle actually showed it to me. And... From that point on, I think I still listen to them on almost a daily basis, even if it's just for a little bit.
That's cool.
Just something totally different. He was kind of ahead of his time with a lot of the sounds, and
nobody sounds like Oingo Boingo.
No,
that's
no.
One band. It's kind of like
still nobody sounds like Oingo Boingo.
What's your favorite album?
Oh God, Only a Lad's really great, or Boingo.
Boingo Alive?
Mm-mm, just Boingo.
I gotta go 1983.
I think. It should be just Boingo.
This blew my mind! I only wanted to hear stuff that sounded like this.
And then the video, right?
Yeah, the video was awesome. Robots. Because up until this time, it was all music that like my brothers and stuff and my parents... They kind of handed down to me.
You could call this your own.
Yeah, so this was like...
You discovered it.
Yeah, this is like why, you know, me and about half a billion other American teenagers. But I was like 11 or 12 when this came out.
Think about how many soundtracks were influenced by this.
Yeah. Harold Faltermeyer built a whole career on sounding like this.
Like Beverly Hills Cop and all that. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Herbie Hancock.
Listen to that.
So he started out as a jazz guy, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, if you hear this album, this is the only song on the album that sounds like this.
Interesting.
He's just goofing around with, like, the synthesizer he has.
Interesting. Yeah, that was huge. And sampled a lot, I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the early stages of sampling.
So that bass. Put on your checkered Vans and dance around the cardboard, guys. Justine?
Sup?
You're going to go Jackson 5?
Yeah, I mean, if...
That's fine. I'm not mad at you.
I mean, they pretty much got me into R&B with just that alone.
That's awesome.
The only, like, my dad listens to rock music, but he just didn't play it around me, so I just don't really know it that well.
So, guys, if you're listening and you have a band or a song that changed the way you think about music, hit us up on the old Twitter at Soup Complex. That's a UP Complex. Use the hashtag. I don't know what hashtag was it. Hashtag it changed my life. Hashtag it changed my life. And we'll look at it. No, don't even use the hashtag. Just tell us what song.
Just tell us. Don't use those hashtags.
Yeah, because then I got to go look at somebody else.
Then we got to do hashtags. And there's probably some other weird shit on there we don't want to see.
Yeah, or somebody, if I use the hashtag, it changed my life, I'm going to be reading things about avocado
hashtags,
toast.
Hashtag soup life.
Yeah, look at that. Wait, hold on. Let's check in.
You watching the video?
Yeah, I can't keep my eyes off it. I remember that. It was a staple on.
Was it like a lot of headless bodies walking around?
It was
around?
Like robots. A bunch of robots.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, all right, guys. What a great little show we cobbled together, even though I have a toothache.
It was cute.
Guys, you did a great job. You guys always bring the thunder. It's always fun spending an hour and 21 minutes with you.
Yeah.
You've been 22. Counting.
You got it down to the seconds.
I'm excited for next week because we got good movies.
I hope so. I hope everybody likes Wizard of Oz. And
I hope it fucking makes up for
Kong
last week.
And guys, listen. Listen, guys.
And that makes for an entertaining show. I must say, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, it's always
listening to that show when they're bad movies. When they're like all three of them are bad, that makes for an entertaining show.
Look at it this way, guys. I got taken down too.
Yeah, so that actually kind of feels good.
You know,
and it does point up how good your taste is because most of the movies from your collection have been pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare when we have movies that we like hate from your movie collection.
There's an occasional,
especially the James Bond movies. Yeah, James Bond, whole collection.
Why did you waste your money?
James Bond, the whole collection.
We're not even gonna.
He's dodged a few bullets.
You're gonna skip about three James Bond movies right now. So.
Yeah.
That was interesting when you were saying when Sean Connery got his mojo back, Untouchables. That I was looking at his filmography and there's two right after Zardoz where he gets it back. The Man Who Would Be King.
And The Great Train Robbery.
With Donald Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was The Name of the Rose.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
He's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes, but it's like in the year 1200.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
The medieval.
And he's in a monastery with, is it Christian Slater?
I believe so.
Like a very young Christian Slater.
And then
Slater.
He does Entrapment, and you're just like.
With the lasers. I'm working with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I think after The Untouchables and he got the Oscar, he could name his price. So like Hunt for Red October, he could just say, pay me.
The Rock. Welcome to The Rock.
Exactly.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
You know, that's the one where he said, I'm done. I'm not going to make another movie, you know.
But you can't shoot that target from 500 yards.
Justine is leaving. Not leaving. Where are you going, Justine?
My butt just hurts from sitting.
Spider-Man.
Or was it Tom Holland?
Does what?
End it now. End it.
Edith, there's got to be a back door under this thing.
So you named that chair?
Jesus.
Please. Let it breathe.
Please kill me now.
Thank you. Okay, guys. For Justine, who is now standing.
Why didn't you do that when I was drinking?
For Justine, who is now standing and spitting.
Spit take.
For Patrick, who is crying. For Jake. For John. For myself. We say, this transmission ends now. We're going to send you off with a little Shakedown Mambo. The title track from the album, Shakedown Mambo. Shakedown Mambo. So until next time, next week, Digital Movie Club, Wizard of Oz, King Kong, and All Quiet on the Western Front.
Woo.
1930s classics. We're going to cover the whole decade there.
Love the 30s.
Beginning, middle, and end.
Wizard of Oz is in the
1939.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest years for movies.
On Turner right now, they're doing 1939. Every day they're playing a movie from 1939.
There you go.
First movie in Technicolor, right?
No.
No?
No, no, no.
No, no, no?
No, no.
I thought it was.
It's a great use of it, but Gone with the Wind and Becky Sharp. And,
oh, yeah.
That was earlier.
Nothing Sacred, but it's certainly nothing that looked like Wizard of Oz.
No.
Yeah. No. No. I'm trying to end the show here.
Until next time, guys, fight the power. And stay brown. What do I say? Fight the power. Oh, this
transmission. I love that. What do I say? Oh, yeah, fight the power.
This transmission ends now.
Oh, yeah.
Keep your waitress.